Your free China Money podcast episode is made possible by GoToMeeting. GoToMeeting is an award-winning, easy-to-use, and secure web conferencing service. Whenever you need to have a meeting with your business partners in China, why not use GoToMeeting to conduct online meetings that's professional, smooth to use, and extremely secure. Please support us by supporting GoToMeeting. Get a free 30-day trial only by clicking on the GoToMeeting banner on our website at ChinaMoneyPodcast.com. Welcome to China Money Podcast, your source for local knowledge and insights on investing in China. Go to our website at ChinaMoneyPodcast.com for more episodes with other great guests. I'm your host, Nina Xiang. Our guest today is Paul Yang, Director of Consignment at Spectrum Wine Auctions, an auction house of fine and rare wine established in 2009. Mr. Yang's primary focus is to explore potential wine investors, particularly in the fast-growing Chinese market. Very excited to have him on the phone from Los Angeles. Hi, Paul. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
First, for those of us who don't know much about investing in wine, how does it work? Do you just buy a bottle and hope to sell it later on at a higher price?
Well, I think we have to look at wine investment as any other commodity investment or even stock market, real estate market. So a key thing is to do your own research. The reality is probably 98% or even 99% of the wine made in the world today will not go up in price. The portion of the wine that do increase in value is very, very small. Most of the wines that's traded today for a high dollar amount are Bordeaux, classified Bordeaux to be in particular, and Grand Cru and Premier Cru Burgundies. Those type of wine are from France. As a grape varietal goes, they're a little different. In Burgundy, you have red Burgundy, less than Pinot, Pinot Noir, to be precise, and white Burgundy is made out of Chardonnay grape. In Bordeaux, you have your traditional five varietals. That's a prominent percentage of Bordeaux, which you got Cab, Merlot, Cabernet Franc, Petit Verdot, and Malbec. As far as Bordeaux goes, in the left bank, there's 61 classified growths. On the right bank of Bordeaux, which is Merlot-driven, there are probably another 20, 30 labels you would consider buying for investment.
So that does sound like it's rather very niche market. So what type of investors are better positioned to invest in wine?
Well, even though it is a niche market, everyday investors, if they want to play it safe, they can just buy the tried and true labels, such as, say, your first growth or your blue chip burgundies. And, you know, there's probably about 10 of those labels combined. The chances are those won't, if you buy the price right, it won't lose money on it. But at the same time, because they are tried and true labels, so their price is typically very current to market. So your upside may be limited. If you want to buy some labels that's what's called second through fifth growth in Bordeaux or some other, you know, up-and-coming burgundies, you have more upside on it. But at the same time, there's also the risk of the downside a little bit more.
Now, your focus is to explore potential wine investors, particularly in China. Currently, how mature are this group of investors? And what kind of growth specifically have we seen in China?
With the Chinese market growing, with the appetite growing for wine, you can see that the producer is shifting more and more of their focus and their inventory ability to China and to Hong Kong to satisfy the demand. One particular example is not a wine from a region we talked about during the segment, but rather it's a wine from Napa Valley. The wine is called Opus One, which at one point was a joint venture between the Robert Mondavi's family and the Mouton Rothschild. Due to the recent growing demand of folks in China, they did definitely shift a good chunk of their availability to Hong Kong market. It's I have retailer friends telling me they used to get 20 to 25 cases of allocation a year. Now it's begging to get 5 cases out of them when the production actually gone up, for that matter. So that's one example of what the impact of Chinese market is doing to the wine supply. And the other example would be your more general a lot of folks in Bordeaux and Burgundy, they frequently travel to Hong Kong and also to China. And there's a big event coming up at the end of May in Hong Kong. It's the Van Expo 2012 Hong Kong. Again, it's something that they used to never do in the region, but because of the demand, now they're doing this signature event in Hong Kong. So it's exciting to see this type of growth, and people are definitely paying attention to it.
And what is the current condition of interest from Chinese wine investors? Are they picking up right now?
Well, it seems like the interest in Bordeaux has softened a bit, and partially it can be attributed to market correction. Like any other commodity, once the price of an item reaches too high, it's going to come down a little bit for correction before it goes back up eventually again. And that's where it seems like Bordeaux is at right now at the moment. An example I can give you is a wine that a lot of people should be familiar with, Lafite Rothschild. And in particular, the Lafite Rothschild from the 2000 vintage. Before the global economy crash, during the summer of 08, Lafite 2000 was trading at about $1,500 a bottle in the open auction market. As the global economy dove, so did the wine price. And so by the time Q1 of 2009 rolled around, the 2000 Lafite bottomed out at $800. Now, granted, at $800, that is still a healthy return from the initial release price if you bought it, say, back in, it would have been, if you bought on futures, it would be 2001. You could have bought that bottle of wine at futures at $250. So that's still more than 300% return. But now, since 2009, say February, the wine has gone from $800 a bottle up to $2,500 a bottle, which was for the most part summer of 2011. So that's a tenfold increase compared to the initial price in the span of, say, depending on how you want to measure, 9 to 10 years. That same wine has now softened back down to about $1,500 to $1,700 range. So you can see that it's a little bit of correction. It's coming back to earth a little bit. But in the long run, I think the bottle has potential to go back up to eclipse the previous high, as long as the economy as well. So now, during this last 6 months or so, even though the interest in Bordeaux has softened a bit, what's really picked up is Burgundy. And Burgundy is now the new, I guess, fashionable choice for Chinese investors, partially because the production is extremely limited. I mean, some will argue say if Bordeaux has 10 cases available, then Burgundy has one. So, you know, you can look at it as just 10% of the total production of Bordeaux and probably less than that.
Suppose someone buy Bordeaux and Burgundy this year. Is there a way to forecast potential returns?
Let's assume you buy at the right price, quote-unquote. A Bordeaux, you should wait 3 to 5 years for you to make a good return on it. Again, good return, the definition varies. What we've been seeing lately is that a lot of folks in Hong Kong that's been buying one just recently, you know, for the most part since 2009 or 2010, they're in a hurry to see if they made any profit on the wines they bought. You know, depending on what you bought, yes, certain times that you have made a profit, but a lot of time it's still a little bit too young, especially with the market pullback in the last 6 months.
Generally, how long is the investment cycle, and how long should investors hold the wine for?
I would probably hold a wine for a good 5 years, especially if you're buying something that's brand new. And especially if you're buying items that people already know about, your Lafite, your Margaux, your Latour, your DRC. Items like that would take a little bit more time to mature. It's the higher risk, higher reward items that you may not need quite as long to see your investment in return. A good example would be the 2009 Bordeaux that's now slowly hitting the market. If someone were to buy some of these 2009 Bordeaux on future, which meant they would have bought in 2010, there were a few labels in there that was, you know, people didn't expect to receive a high score, and they ended up receiving 100 points by wine critique Robert Parker. Those wine value essentially doubled overnight. So the folks that took the high risk, high reward route and picked up some of these, you know, lesser known labels, they already made a killing. It really depends on your strategy and really depends on what you want to do as an investor.
Even though there are growing numbers of wine investors in China, many of them probably don't know much about wine. So what are some common mistakes Chinese investors tend to make?
I don't think they make any mistakes just because they lack knowledge, because what they do is they chase the labels that people talk about. So they're not necessarily chasing the wrong items because of knowledge. I think the one mistake that they possibly do make is that they tend to chase over the market price. You know, we've seen some Chinese folks have a mentality that if they want an item, they will make sure they get it no matter the cost. And from an investment standpoint, that is the one big mistake they are making. But aside from that, probably not much.
Great. And lastly, what's your outlook for the future of Chinese wine investors?
Well, I think the price will continue to go up. But probably not at the same clip as it has been in the past few years. With any commodity, I guess, when the starting price point is lower, your upside of return is larger. Now the wine prices has pushed so high due to the current growth, so it will probably be less and less going forward. But in the long run, you know, wine will go up because, again, it's perishable goods. So a lot of these stock will be consumed, and as people consume these wine, the availability will become less and less. I think what will happen with the market is that once the wine market matures in China, which may take a lot longer than people think, and I guess depending on what your definition of maturity is, if you're saying maturity by wine knowledge, then that will take 20, 30 years perhaps. I think we're going to see that the folks in China will drink not just the top labels. They will actually drink the lesser labels. And that will only help the overall wine market health.
That's great. Thank you so much for your time.
You're very welcome.
That's today's podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. If you have any questions or comments, we'd love to hear from you. Go to our website, chinamoneypodcast.com. Follow us on Twitter at chinamoneypod. Like our Facebook page, or you can always subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. Thank you so much. Until next time.